Yesterday, millions of AT&T customers went without service. To what degree, we do not know what caused it. I got going down a mental rabbit hole. And just for once, I want to do something different. Just for once, can we put on the tinfoil hat and let's talk about some conspiracy theories real quick? I love a conspiracy theory, but more so, I love talking about what we can do against it. So with that said, we're going to assume the worst case scenario today. We're going to assume that the United States is under attack. Just hear me out. Hear me out. Just don't click off. What I'm saying is I want to talk about five skills that homesteaders need to keep on going during a worst case scenario. Whatever that worst case scenario is, I don't know. We could say it's an attack. We could say it's an EMP. Whatever it is, we need to have skills. And these skills, some of these skills, I dare say all of these skills, have come into use here on the homestead. We live in Mississippi and we have hurricanes. And so we're used to power outages here. We went 2 weeks without power 2 years ago due to a hurricane. When Hurricane Katrina came through this area, my neighbor said it was almost 2 months before they've got power returned. So with that said, let's talk about some skills we might need on the homestead. Now, first one I'm going to knock out right off the top. Just the obvious one, right? We've got one that is absurd obvious, and we're going to knock it off the bat first. What is that? That's, of course, gun skills. I'm not going to discredit gun skills, whether you're pro 2A, anti 2A, blah, 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 blah. Hear me out. Gun skills will be important. Yes, you might have meat in the freezer. The problem is that freezer here in Mississippi lasts you all of 1 week before everything in there is absolutely nasty when it's hot here. So that freezer might sound great, but you won't be able to replenish it. You can use it up quick, which is what we did, but that doesn't mean you're gonna have access to that ability during a worst case scenario. So having gun skills allows us to go out, hunt what we need. And yes, all of you people who are like, I won't need to hunt. I'll barter and I'll trade. That won't matter. You're gonna sound just like that. That won't matter in a worst case scenario. So hear me out. We need to hunt. Here in Mississippi, we have deer, we have boar. There might be bear somewhere. I believe technically there are bear here. I've never seen a bear here, but there's probably bear here, probably up north.
The bears can smell the menstruation.
And so we have squirrels, possums, raccoons, things that can be hunted. Not exactly my flavor profile. I eat it, but it's not exactly my thing. But we have opportunity to hunt here and replenish what we have, which is super important. Where that gun obviously will also come into play is self-defense. Yes, self-defense will be an absolute importance during a worst case scenario. But maybe you are anti-2A. You don't want to have a whole lot of firearms. You don't want to have all of that there. Well, what are you going to need to do? One, live on a hope and a prayer that nobody's going to attack you. But ultimately, you need to make sure that you live in a community that's going to be able to help you. The next thing that homesteaders bring to the table is healthcare. And obviously human, but also animal, right? We need to be able to provide healthcare for these animals and ourselves. Basic animal healthcare is going to allow us to have a healthy flock of animals. Whether that's, maybe that's chickens, maybe that's a herd of goats or sheep. All of that means though that we'll be able to take care of that livestock. Meaning we're not gonna be solely reliant on nature to provide us with meat. And why is that important? Because essentially what's going to happen in worst case scenario, you'll be surprised how fast everything is used up out in nature. All the deer will be killed, all of the possums, the raccoons, all of those things are going to be gone. Essentially when everybody's hungry, everybody's gonna be looking for the same protein source. So having something that we're taking care of and we're protecting is going to give us a much better result in the long run. So what do we need to have for basic healthcare? At all point in times, we have med kits inside of our cars. We have three cars. All three cars have med kits at all times, plus there's one in the house. That's for humans. Inside of that, there is everything from eye patches, tweezers, sanitizer, food grade hydrogen peroxide. There is, you name it, it's in there. They're big box kits, and we keep them around, and they come in handy a lot. I have six kids, one of them special needs. All you special needs parents know how quick a special needs kid can get injured. I feel like he has a doctorate's degree in going to the emergency room sometimes. And so having a kit there is so helpful. It already gets in. We make sure that we replenish it and keep it stocked up. The next thing is for our animals, though. We need to make sure that we're having things to make sure that we're helping with kitting, that we're able to help them have basic survive basic injuries, such as a cut with iodine and blue healer, especially with like chickens. Chickens see red, they pluck it, they'll kill each other if they don't have that blue on top of them. But we keep everything from like ivermectin, Corid. We keep a good supply of all that. That way we can always be protected here. Again, it's just basic animal health care to prevent worms, to prevent whatever. You'll always find gloves. You're always going to be able to find a couple of syringes to be able to help out. So again, keep a good supply of medical supplies around you, not just for human, but for your animals. When you need it, you're just absolutely upset when you don't have it. We're in the middle of lambing season, so having these health supplies around is absolutely mandatory. The third skill that homesteaders bring to the table in a worst case scenario, seed saving. We are huge advocates of seed saving. We are constantly saving from our year supply from the previous year. What this does is just always ensure that we're going to have seeds. So if Haas Tools or any of these other guys get shut down, I still have product. And that's kind of happened to us where Haas Tools doesn't get shut down, but he might not have the bean that I like the next year. And so we're able to have a certain supply of Chinese red beans. We have these long python beans that were amazing that are not being found right now on the market. So if you know somewhere, make sure you put a link down below for me. So seed saving is a great opportunity where we can benefit ourselves and the community around us. You're going to be surprised at how fast that meat disappears from out there in those woods. All that raccoons, and I know I keep saying raccoons and possums, and I can hear you.
Ew, I'm not going to eat that.
The fact is, when you get hungry, you're going to be absolutely amazed at the things that you'll shove in your face. And so to help with those things to shove in your face, you're going to need things like seeds to help grow vegetables to be able to provide better. What it does is it provides a longer, consistent growing season. You're going to have more consistent food for yourself and not be reliant on others. Because in this worst case scenario, obviously, grocery stores are gone. The convenience stores are closed. And we saw this during COVID. We know that this is a massive possibility in our food system. When technology is shut down, these massive corporations cannot function and they cannot deliver food. In case you're wondering why I keep looking down, we have 15 puppies in the barn with me making an absolute mess, but they're so adorable. They're so adorable. Subscribe to this video. My food will taste better. That's bribery. That's probably not good. But seed saving will be the best opportunity for us to provide for a community on a large scale. What we're going to face is overall is that we're going to have to need to provide for more than just ourselves. In a perfect worst case scenario, we're going to have to be able to barter with our friends, right? So we're going to need to bring something literally to the table so we can trade, do what we need to do. I think food, ammunition, protection, that is going to be the barter system in a worst case scenario. Unfortunately, your dollar bills will not mean much. We've now shot the animal. We've raised up through the seeds, maybe, that we've got these vegetables. We've got these vegetables and we've got this meat. But what do we do with it? Number four is preserving and canning. Homesteaders are absolutely amazing at finding new ways to preserve food. We are huge advocates for preserving a certain amount of food every single year. Having the option to do different things with our food is what's going to be the key. Because obviously when you kill an animal here in Mississippi, you got a day to eat it or it's going to be rotten the next day. It's too hot here to be able to hold that item for multiple days. In Alaska, you might be able to get away with it, but here in Mississippi, it is Satan's armpit hot. It is not going to work. So we rely on a certain level of canning and preparation to be able to have that year-round for us. So how do we do that? There's really three ways when I talk about preserving food. So the first one is freezing. And so talking about freezing, I'm going to talk to you about our scenario and what we do on our farm. So two times a year, we knock it out in two big batches so it doesn't suck for the rest of the year. So we do 150 meat chickens two times a year. And so when that chicken is broken down, it is immediately broke down into quarters. We leave some whole. I sell some whole to some local neighbors. But basically, I freeze package those chickens so I can have them for later use. It is a fantastic way to preserve food, especially when we're preserving it on that first day. We're really locking in that freshness. And as long as we get a great seal on there, we're going to have a great product that is just as good as the day we pull it out as the day we packed it. With that also, we can break down different things and package them up in different ways. My wife likes it when I break some of the chickens down into quarters. Kind of helps out. I put the tenders all in one bag, the chicken breast all in a bag. The other part of that is when we have these chickens, I like to have pre-made meals. My wife still spends some time away from the house. She might go back home and visit. You know, we're natively from the Atlanta area, so she'll go back home and visit family. And then I work a 12-hour day, so I'm coming home where I'm used to having food on the table, to be completely honest, and now I don't. But what I can do is if I could smoke that chicken off, I could shred it, vacuum bag it, and then all I have to do to order is to go get that and put it in a 180-degree water bath for 45 minutes, and I've got delicious smoked barbecue chicken for my meal. And so having a couple different variants that I use when I say freezing, so whole raw, broken down raw, and then I have fully prepared meals that are ready to go for me. Now, in this scenario, though, I don't have power. I don't have electricity, right? So now I'm also maybe relying on a generator, though, to keep this process going. Because without a generator, without electricity, that freezer is not going to work for very long. So the second way is canning. We do a lot of canning in mason jars. This allows us to, again, year-round, it's going to stay good in that can for 2 to 3 years safely. So often, again, talking about the chickens that we break down, we'll take some of that chicken and then we'll either roast it or boil it because we'll be making stock anyways from it. And so we'll take that, shred it up, put it in the mason jar, pour that stock back over it, can that up. So again, all I got to do is dump and go for a nice, delicious soup or shredded chicken for quesadillas, whatever I might need them to be. The third way to preserve meat is dehydrating. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that's not something that I dabble a whole lot with. I don't particularly enjoy a lot of dehydrated things. We might dehydrate some apples or some pears and some things that we just couldn't get it. We don't have room in the freezers for, and we don't want to use up our cans for. So we do dabble a little bit, but I know things like beef jerky would go a long way in a worst case scenario. Jerky and dehydrated meat has been the forefront of homesteaders since the 1800s. When they were moving out west, they had salt cured meats that gave them protein as they moved west. So I'm not going to discredit that. It's just not something that I currently do. And I don't want to be a hypocrite and tell you that you should go out and do all this stuff. And I don't really do it. The fifth and final skill that you need as a homesteader in our worst case scenario is bartering skills. Yes, you will have to be able to barter with your friends. Yes, you might be able to catch a couple of deer, and that might be delicious. The problem is deer's not going to taste good every day. The fact is you're going to need more bullets. You're going to need water. You're going to need someone to help you build something. How do we get there? And that is a community. And that is one of the most important things on why I love the homestead community and why I'm here. So if you're here also to be a part of a community, make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. We're here to build a community of like-minded homesteaders who are here to grow and learn together. Bartering, to me, I believe will be one of the most important skills that we will possess. So bartering will be key for us. It's kind of like going to a swap meet. Hey, I've got chickens, tomatoes, and lettuce. Oh, you've got eggs, grain, and water. Let's trade for what we have so we can switch things out. I believe that will be one of the most important skills needed. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's been fun. I've had these little rascals being little terrorists down below, tracking up everything, knocking over everything. If you wouldn't mind, hey, give the puppy a subscribe, you know? Look at the puppy. It deserves a subscribe, right? So make sure you subscribe down below. We'll see you next time here on Homesteading Chef.
I lost my train of thought, you little rascal. You eating my shoe? You little rascal. Man, you guys are little terrorists, man. Good.